By the way, everybody should know this is some very impressive use of the mute button by Javi here, who had who was coughing and for the Spotify people who can't see, taking a drink of water, but we couldn't hear anyway. That is some.
I'm a pro. I'm a pro.
That yes. Edu, let's give a round of applause for that.
This is the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast with Javi Gancedo and Frankie Sachs.
Welcome to episode number 25 of the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast. I am Frankie Sachs, and this week we're going to introduce a couple new segments into the show. The first one is, where in the world is Javier Gancedo?
Hello, Frankie. Hello, everybody. Well, I'm in Dallas, Texas, about to come back for the remainder of the season, I hope. And I've been in the States doing interviews for documentaries for the last couple of weeks, and we have one more interview to do. And once we're done, I'll be back, and I should be in the office ready to roll for the round 28 of the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague. Well, coming up, so we'll see. I mean, it's been weird to watch EuroLeague games in the afternoon, but it's kind of cool also. You're having lunch, you're watching the games. I like the experience. It's not a bad time for our fellow Americans.
Maybe next year we should introduce some afternoon games in Europe.
Yeah, but then it will be morning games in the States. So, and I guess fans who are working wouldn't appreciate that, like to leave work to go there. So we'll see. Once we had but it was a bank holiday. Once we had a game at 2 in the afternoon between Ceska and Lokomotiv Kuban, but it was a bank holiday in Russia, so it makes sense.
Yes, back in the day, there would be a lot of early starts in Russia. Unix Kazan also often had games that were starting sometimes at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, because of the time difference, it was a 2 or 3 hour shift. So, yeah. Anyway, we had a good week, right? We had 194 points.
Maybe.
And I had 188, so it was decent. And I had 188 without Alexa Abramovich, which is the first thing that we should talk about. Wow. We kind of saw this Alexa mania coming, but I never expected him to get 35 points. It was crazy.
No, when I was even watching the game and every shot was going in late in the game, I could not believe it. It's impossible to have predicted something like that. I think we all know that he was underpriced. He's a special player. He has a special role. His defense is so good that he'll get the minutes even if he's not scoring. And the only reason – he did this round one, not as good, but he started the season like this. Injuries have derailed him a little bit, but we knew he could be an impact player, which is why so many people had them on his bench, and we even spoke about him last week. I was very lucky to have him. But first, let's talk about him and not about our teams. What were you impressed by watching his game?
Well, he was unbelievable. He was at his very best. And the only problem is that they play Milano next week. And it's not going to be that easy because the pace of the game is going to be slower. But still, I think at 5 credits, he's a must-have player. Right now, everybody should have Alexa.
I agree.
And I'm going to buy Alexa for sure.
What impressed me the most was seeing him have the ball and take advantage of mismatches and be aggressive, even though there were guys like Kevin Punter, who's an elite scorer, on the floor.
But yeah, the personality also. At some point, he was bouncing the ball, and then he just released the ball to tell people to back down. He was going to play one-on-one, and he scored.
Right.
That's the confidence that you need for a leader, and well, for a fantasy player, of course, that's a must.
And this week is a matchup where, like you said, it'll slow down the game a little bit. But I still think that if he's the way he's playing, there's no reason not to have him. And he's playing on Thursday, correct? So
yeah, everything works in his favor. Same for Jonathan Webb of Maccabi, another player that I'm buying. Webb had an incredible game. He barely missed a shot in Berlin. Of course, this is going to be difficult. Of course, they play a more difficult game now. But the way he played at 7 credits, you need players like that so you can, have the option to get a lot of points and at the same time to afford the stars. So,
right.
Webb is coming in too.
Well, the absence of Roman Sorkin was bound to open up some more opportunities in Maccabi. And the question was always, how would it look? Sorkin can play either the 4 or the 5. So the question was, what would that mean for Rivera? What would that mean for Nebo, who I didn't think would lose much playing time? But it looks like right now Webb is going to be the chief beneficiary at the four. And that's another guy to look at. Maccabi does have a favorable schedule going forward.
Yes, which leads us to the next question. Baldwin has been amazing lately. Should we keep rolling with Baldwin and keep him as team captain or not really?
Yeah, the tricky part this week is that so many games are on Thursday that you really have to choose wisely. Last week I had Baldwin as my captain, and I was pleased enough when he wound up with 61.6 points as the captain to keep him and not to gamble on anybody else. And I had Mike James, but it turned out to be the right gamble. James started and got me, 19.8 points? So that was good, but I had Baldwin as the captain. But the point is, last week I had James as the backup plan. This week it's tough to make the backup plan. On the other hand, it's a neutral site venue. It's not at Jalgiris. Who on Jalgiris is going to really be able to stop him? They've got some great players there, but do they have a someone who's going to step in and stop him? Because the tricky thing is, if you stop Baldwin, then Lorenzo Brown can run wild. So you have to pick your poison a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going with the X effect this week. I'm going to keep Keenan Evans, plays against Maccabi, and I'm going to keep Josh Nebo, who plays against Jalgiris. I think in the NBA displayed, but he wasn't 100%. I don't see who's going to stop Nebo. Okay, Kabari has the same profile, but he hasn't having his best season. And then with Evans, I expect a high-scoring game, and that favors him, of course. Unless Jalgiris does his best to slow it down and get more chances to win, which is something that can actually happen. So,
I mean, I don't think that Maccabi is a team that can really be slowed down too much because of the way they play. They're quicker, they're faster. That's their whole game. It's getting out in transition. So even if you try and slow the game, I think Maccabi is going to look to run and play aggressive defense. And as long as they're rebounding well, that'll speed up the pace. I'm not too worried about Baldwin losing that way. It's just, do they sell out to stop Baldwin, which is bad for fantasy? But I don't know if that's, like I said, I don't know if that's a winning basketball on the court strategy because of Lorenzo Brown. I think you have to play them pretty much straight up. If that happens, then Baldwin's going to get his points.
Okay, well, before the podcast, Frankie and I usually talk about the topics that we should discuss. And of course, I'm going to introduce one what we didn't talk about to surprise him, which is that Nando De Colo is back. And, he had a PR of 16, missing two free throws, which is almost unthinkable of him, and drawing 9 fouls and going to the line only 4 times. That means that he has potential to get more shooting fouls next time, get a higher PAR. But he plays Panathinaikos on the road. He plays on Friday, which makes him, I think, attractive. But would it be a good time to bring De Colo, who has been pretty much the king of the fantasy challenge in the last decade, back to the team?
So I did not watch that game. I was on, and I've only looked at the box score. But what I saw is that Paris Lee played very limited minutes, and Neil Myakov, the backup point guard, played a lot of minutes. So there's something in flux there right now with the Aswell backcourt, and that always makes me nervous when I see that. I want some certainty around my team and around the minutes as much as possible. So I would wait. I would wait with Nando De Colo. What are you thinking?
I think this week is tough for him because they can throw somebody like Jerian Grant, Kendrick Nunn, very active players, really quick hands, good on-the-ball defenders. I'll wait, but definitely this game has put Nando in my radar, for sure.
I'll follow up with the topic of Nando De Colo, and I'll bring up one that we've spoken about now several weeks, which is Ricky Rubio. But this week, by the way, everybody should know, this is some very impressive use of the mute button by Javi here, who was coughing, and for the Spotify people who can't see, taking a drink of water, but we couldn't hear anyway.
I'm a pro.
Yes. Edu, let's give a round of applause for that. So you met with one of the great players of the last the previous decade, Pete Michael, EuroLeague mm-hmm. champion with Barcelona, former teammate of Ricky Rubio. And one of the things that he said in the interview that you did with him was that now is just for Ricky Rubio to get back into shape. But he's a money time player, and the whole point is he uses March to get back into shape. In April and May, and June for the Spanish league is when he'll be a difference maker. I thought that was very interesting. And I think for fantasy purposes, that's kind of what I thought might happen, right? If he plays a little bit, what did he play, 11 minutes on Friday against Monaco? Plays 11, plays 12, plays 14, doesn't it? All of a sudden, the price starts to go down. And then now the question becomes, at what point does the price go down? Does Ricky pick it up? And is that a player that you want to have on your team?
No, the Colo and Ricky Rubio are really high on my watch list. But right now, they're not an option to me.
Correct. Right now, that's what Pete Michael, he wasn't talking about fantasy, but he was talking about, in real life. But yes, absolutely, this is the time. The watch on both of those guys has begun, and the question is, when is the right time to pick them up?
Yeah. Well, we were asked on YouTube if we could share a couple of players to avoid this week. I think it's a very interesting thing to do, and we're going to do it. Frankie, take it away. Who's the player to avoid?
So for now, my player to avoid is Serge Ibaka, who I picked up last week. I was very excited to have him. I think he got 22 points, if I'm not mistaken. But it makes me a little bit nervous to have him this week against Efes. I think the pace will be there. But Efes is a very deep front line. We've been talking about their center rotation all season long. And I just wonder, what if they end up having too many fouls and being physical enough to change the game a little bit. Maybe Ibaka doesn't have the contributions that we're used to seeing. So for his price, I would stay away from Ibaka this week, as well as Toko Shengelia, who played only... He was out in the first quarter last week with an injury. We don't have a full update from Virtus yet, just that the MRI showed that it wasn't anything catastrophic, but I don't know if that means he'll be back this week or in this shape. So I would not want to have him in my lineup, knowing that.
I'll go with two players. We mentioned Paris Lee. Paris Lee has been, since the Colo came back in the French Cup, he's not playing that many minutes, and that is, of course, making his PAR go down. So that'll be him, and the surprise player to avoid for me would be Facu Campazzo of Real Madrid. Why? Okay, Madrid plays at home against Fenerbahce. They have to bounce back. They also lost against... Fenerbahce earlier this year. It was their first loss, I think, in any competition.
Correct.
And, I like the way that Fenerbahce can handle it with Calaifes and Jan Madar. One is a very sticky defender, and Calaifes is a very experienced guy who has a size advantage against Campazzo. So I would avoid Campazzo. That's my choice.
Yeah, I second that. That's a wise words from Javi Cantedo.
We'll see. Maybe he'll get there. Last time I did this was in the Spanish league. They asked me to do an article, players to like, players to avoid. And the two players I mentioned to avoid, I remember, was Rudy Fernández and Andy Panko. They were first and second in PAR that week. It was unbelievable, the heat that I got out of that. It was crazy.
Instead, you were the person to avoid.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's show our teams. I mean, of course, that's not the definitive version, even when I don't make many changes. But okay, here you can see mine on the screen. It's I'm having three Maccabi players to begin with: Baldwin, Webb, and Nebo, plus Keenan Evans and Tibor Pleiss as starters, along with McKissick. And on the bench, I have Abramovich, Dimsa, and Ndiaye, played really well, and Siobhan Shields. I'm keeping Shields because I expect him to play well, and then Nanoli may not play, so that's an advantage. So what about you?
So first I want to start off by showing my team from last week, which did quite well. I should have gone with Kattash as coach. I had 195.85 points. But the thing that I did last week, which was risky, was I went with the six superstar lineup, and then four players on the bench who were more of a gamble, and that blew up in my face. My point total was more luck than anything else, because Mirotić got sick and did not play at all on Friday, so I got the zero, and Toko got injured and got me Also, you know, he got, I ended up moving to my bench because he played Thursday, so he got me 0.55 points. So essentially zero. Where I got lucky was that I had Alexa, and I started him. And I had the backup plan of having somebody on my bench. Now, I can't tell you when I put in Tarik Bibirovic instead of Mirotic for Friday that I expected a big score from him. But he got 16, they won, so it became 17.6, and that was very valuable. But that just shows if you're competing, you have to really think these things through to make sure you have some sort of opportunity on the Friday to put somebody in, to have some sort of backup. And it's good to gamble for guys on Thursday. Now, this week, it's a little trickier because we have a heavy schedule with games on Thursday. And that puts you in a situation where, you know, last week we had unlimited trades. You could do whatever you wanted. Now it's, you know, it's really trying to make it work. So the changes I made were I dropped John Di Bartolomeo. I dropped Toko, as I said before. And I dropped Serge Ibaka for reasons I explained. I'm picking up Kendrick Nunn. We had a nice game, and I've been a big believer in Kendrick Nunn all year long, and I think that this could be another. He could be getting on a hot stretch here to finish the season. Chima Moneke.
I want Chima Moneke, man. I cannot afford him, but I have to find a way to put him in the team before the deadline. It's a must, I think.
Yeah, so I've gone back to him, especially against Alba Berlin. I think that's And to double up there on the Baskonia front court, Matt Costello.
Nice.
He fit in there. He gives me the turn two center in case something doesn't go great with Josh Nebo. And I felt that was important to have that. And a coach, I don't know. Did you say your coach was? I don't recall.
Dusko Ivanovic of Baskonia.
Right. So I think that will be the popular choice of coaches this week. That's also who I have. I'd considered going with Ataman. I think that we're going to see not just none, right? I think we're going to see a nice little run here at Panathinaikos towards the end of the season. Ataman is worth having, but he's not cheap, and I have confidence that Baskonia is going to bounce back. You know, they were close. I think it was a tie game or a 1 or 2 point game last week going into the fourth quarter, and then Fenerbahce pulled away. Now at home against Alba, I think that we can expect a nice strong fantasy game from the Baskonia players, which is why I have two. If you have the opportunity to grab Marinkovic, he's also not very expensive and he can contribute. So I have those Baskonia guys. But yes, also a coach, I have Dusko. And we'll see where
very,
we go.
A very Baskonia week. How about Lesorg? I mean, he found a way to beat...
Should that be the title of the show? A very Baskonia week?
Why not? It's a little bit of disrespect to Alba, so I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
But
sorry, I think I guess I already disrespected them by suggesting it. So my apologies to the Alba Berlin fans.
All right. Well, I was talking about Lesort. I think he's a very good choice this week. He's expensive, of course, but the good thing is that Panathinaikos found a way to play against Madrid centers by simply outrunning them. Lesort got a lot of dunks in transition, fast breaks, and maybe that's the way forward, to attack Tavares by running more than him.
Yeah, when I decided that I did not want to have, that I was not going to keep Serge Ibaka, I looked to see, do I want to get Tavares? Not Tavares, sorry, Lesort was even more expensive. But it just became, I didn't want to pay that price right now. So I went another way, which is the Costello way. But yeah, I think that Lesort and also Dinos Mtoglu, who's somebody else I considered, the Panathinaikos is going to go on a nice little run here. So those are all guys who I'd like to have. Now the question, like what you said, there are the teams that have those quick centers are going to look for it. The thing is, do you have a center? What Lesort can do is bang inside with a guy like Tavares a little bit and run. How many centers are there that have both the speed and the power?
I would say at least one. Mike Kotsar can do it.
So we'll have to wait to see that matchup. But yeah, running is always something that you want to try and do against a guy like Tavares, right? That's always when a team has the speed and the power, has the size and the power, you try to use the speed against them. Panathinaikos did it beautifully. Those dunks for, I think he made something like 13 baskets and 8 of them were dunks, and a lot of them were in transition.
Yeah. They found the way. from the way. Kudos to Atama.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is also what we spoke about last week. These coaches will have a couple of weeks to sit and think and plan. And look at that, Ataman, even without being with the team and even being the Turkish national team, and the guy, he built a plan that the guys are, because they've been together all season, this was just, you know, a 2 week break, but they've been together all season. They put the plan in and it worked. And yeah, it was a great game.
All right. Well, that's all we have time for. So, well, good luck in the Turkish National Euro League. It's going to be a very exciting week. There's a lot of great games. It's going to be outstanding to watch, and I'll be home by then, and I can watch and work on them, which I'm looking forward to. And best of luck at the Fantasy Challenge. Again, we are very reachable on X. I'm Gancetto with the double T. He is Frankie's Mr. Yearly. And I mean, use the comment section. So as you see, I mean, they suggested something, we did it. So up to you guys.
Absolutely. Thank you for your suggestions. Thank you for everyone who reaches out to us, and keep it coming. And we will be back here again next week.
Yep. Take care. See you soon.